T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So I just got this on the text line. Rob, what do you call the restaurant that gets an award for best hot dog in the state? The Wiener. Someone took the time out of their day
to text me that. Well done.
Someone took the time out of the day to text 71307 to start their text with the word fan and to hit me with, what do you call a restaurant that receives an award for best hot dog in the state? The Wiener.
You have helped a lot of dads out with that joke, and they wrote it down in their phone in really big type, and so they're going to be using that later. So way to go, Texter.
You took time out of your life, time that you can and will not get back before you are lowered into your eternal resting spot, to craft a text with the punchline of a hot dog award wiener.
I will not let you sit over there and disparage a member of the Armada who took time out of their valuable day to try to lighten the mood and make us feel good about ourselves by putting out a joke like that. And I appreciate it.
Texter says, is the text line open for dad jokes this morning? The text line is open for dad jokes every morning. Every morning. I will never turn away a dad joke, except maybe that one.
Here's the thing, though. If your dad joke game is so good, you think you got it, you think you're the dad, give us a joke that gets talked about on both stations. So since we share the text line, make it so good that Vince Coakley goes, I've got to say this on the air.
The Wiener. If you do that, your joke will be the Wiener. All right.
Actually, that's right up there with Vince's sense of humor, so he may have already.
He might have already done it. Fair enough.
he might have actually sent it. I don't know. It's possible.
Let's give Lonzo a chance to LOL on the air, shall we, with clip numero dos. Now, some of you may know, Lonzo during the break, as our promo about ukuleles played. All right. If you missed that segment, nuts and bolts version of it was an airline gave as a promotion an airplane full of people who definitely do not play the ukulele, ukuleles to play on an airplane in the sky on the way to Hawaii. And I thought, that, ladies and gentlemen, is hell slightly above earth for me. All right? That sounds miserable. I would be J-E-F-F-J-A-R-R-E-T smacking ukuleles over people's domes when this happened, right? Lonzo said, oh, your hate list has grown. No, it hasn't. I don't hate ukuleles. I hate people who play a ukulele in a spot where I can't leave. I think that's terrible. But
I think you need to amend that, because you've already said it before. People who play ukulele bad in a place where...
Correct.
Because if not, then you're saying you hate ukuleles.
I don't. I hate people who can't play ukulele.
There we go.
Playing ukulele. All right. Now, Lonzo will not admit it because he refuses to acknowledge that there is hate in his heart. But Lonzo's got hate in his heart too. The list of things which Lonzo hates, I will acknowledge, is very short. But There are a couple of athletes on it. Kyler Murray is on that list. Tom Brady tops that list. Steph Curry is on that list. And one thing that you will notice if you listen to the show long enough is that Lonzo has at least one joke for each of those athletes that he loves to hang on to. With Steph Curry, that joke is what, Lonzo?
He won't say the word.
Because I hate
Rob
the word.
Rob won't say the word. His binky. By the way, hatred is not, it's not hate. Because if I had hate in my heart, then if one of those individuals were in need within the vicinity where I could help them, I would look at them and go, I hate you, and walk away, and I would not do that.
Extreme dislike.
There we go.
Compassion, but extreme dislike.
You know, hate is on the horizon, but it's still a distance away.
The joke that Lonzo has made about Steph Curry for some number of years is that Steph Curry rocks a passy when he plays.
I think binky's a better word, but it's both the same thing. I think, I don't know if it's a north-south thing or what, but I know down here it's definitely binky.
Well, last night, Steph Curry and his Golden State Warriors were locked in a battle with Ja Morant and his Memphis Grizz.
That's what the binky sounds like.
In that game, late down the stretch, the Grizz were giving the Warriors everything they wanted, and the Dubs could not pull away. Late in the game, Jordan Poole had the basketball. Jordan Poole was working the basketball into a double team. Steph Curry was able to move off ball, get himself open at the top of the key, and called for the pass and likely a three-point effort.
You think Beaky is a Y or an IE? I got to make sure that I spell it right.
I don't care. I'll never write it.
Yeah, but I'm about to.
Steph Curry calls for the pass, looking for an open three-point attempt. Jordan Poole either does not see him or ignores him, drives the rock and the double team down into the paint. Well, after the play came to its conclusion, Steph Curry then turned and started making his way back to the defensive side of the floor, and then this happened.
DiVincenzo, what a play! Poole, in and out. Opportunity for Memphis. And a whistle going the other way. What happened? Steph Curry. Has Steph Curry been ejected? Wow. Steph Curry has been ejected.
What's interesting about that? I don't think that was in reaction to anything that happened with the official. On that offensive rebound, he was yelling at Jordan Poole to pass him the ball.
So,
the symphony of heel heat. It's beautiful.
Steph was upset by the fact that Jordan Poole dribbled into the double team, put up a shot. DiVincenzo had a tremendous defensive effort. Altered the shot of Jordan Poole. It went in and out, came out. Steph Curry on his way back on the other side of the floor. I will say, to the enjoyment of the great one, threw a temper tantrum. But that's not the only thing that he threw. Because in his temper tantrum, Steph Curry took what Lonzo referred to as his binky out of his mouth.
How'd that feel?
Hated every second of it. Took his passy, took his mouth guard out, and just sidearm chucked it off the side of the court.
It was reminiscent of Rob after a bad shot at bowling.
Yes. I would like to say that that is not true, but that is correct. Now, there are a couple of differences.
Yeah, you're not throwing slobber, spit, whatever you want to call is, the substance in Steph's mouth that you and I both and a lot of people listening have used mouth guards before and know what's on them. And when you sling it, not only are you contaminating possibly the players, but the floor, which needs to be mopped up and all that kind of stuff. And if I'm a guy and I'm standing over there and I feel a droplet, you getting punched in the face.
First off.
And then while you're lying there, I'll put the binky on your forehead.
First off, I respect Lonzo's desire to drill Steph Curry in the nose. All right? Fight Club's coming up in just over an hour. But the difference between Rob Brown and Steph Curry is that when Rob Brown gets heated and feels the need to throw something, and I do, the competitive juices sometimes flow a little strong through me. Number one, what I throw is not covered in any sort of bodily fluid. And number two, when I turn to throw, it's a calculated throw. I make sure that I'm not throwing it at anybody. Steph took his mouth guard out, winged it towards the crowd, a definite no-no. You know who else knew that it was a no-no? You know who else had a problem with it? Clip 2A is Golden State Warrior head coach Steve Kerr with some comments about Steph's passy chuck.
I didn't see what happened at the time. So, you know, when the ref called it, I was confused. And then the coach told me he threw the mouthpiece down out of anger. And I guess did he throw it into the stands? On the side, yeah. Yeah. So, I think that's automatic ejection. So, yeah, he knows he can't make that mistake again. But I was really proud of the guys that they fought through and executed down the stretch, and got us the win.
Wait. He knows he can't make that mistake again. Maybe you should put the another again, because this ain't the first time he's done it. So if he knew he can't make that mistake, then he wouldn't have made that mistake.
So Steve Kerr himself comes out and goes, Steph's got to know better. Yeah. Yeah. And again, as somebody who was absolutely guilty of letting the competitive juices get the better of me, and winging various pieces of sports equipment in various directions at various velocities. I get it. And, you know, I don't know about you. Everybody's got their thing. Sometimes you just got to throw something. All right? Texter says, in the words of Clayton Bigsby, if there's hate in your heart, just let it out. And that is true. Sometimes
I would say some people let it out in ways that you put them in jail.
Absolutely.
So no.
Absolutely. Part of the reason that if something goes wrong for Rob Brown, that I elect to throw my own sporting equipment is that so I don't damage somebody else's, right? If I'm on the driving range or if I'm on the first tee and I hit a shank of drive, I don't take my golf club and turn around and beat the ball washing machine off of its foundation, right? I throw my own driver into the air.
As we heard yesterday, golf clubs are not constructed in a way where you could beat up
right.
that apparatus.
I would break their and my equipment.
No, I just think you just break your equipment.
But if I throw my driver in the air, the impact on the ground's not going to break it, and I get to release that tension. I get that. And if you're Steph Curry, arguably the greatest three-point shooter in the history of the National Basketball Association, you are standing...
See, it's probably not arguable. I mean, who's better than him? But before him, you would say Larry Bird. But, I mean, in my lifetime, I'd have to say that. But who's better than Steph Curry, historically?
I don't think there is anybody. I think there are some people who would make the argument that they were better three-point shooters.
By the way,
I don't think anybody will do it successfully.
If I had hate in my heart, I could not compliment this individual.
So Steph Curry, the greatest three-point shooter in the history of the National Basketball Association, is standing unguarded and wide open at the top of the key, and Jordan Poole decides in a tight-knit game with the Memphis Grizzlies, nah, it's my time to shine. I'm going to dribble into the paint, into a double team, and put off an off-balance leaner. I get why Steph Curry was frustrated in a game that Golden State needed to win both for themselves in the standings.
They did end up winning.
They did end up winning the game.
But
by the way, in the tunnel afterwards, walking back towards Steph who was waiting, Jordan Poole took out his mouthpiece and threw it at Steph. It's a joke. They both laughed it off. But JP walking back to the tunnel took out his passy and threw it at Steph. So it was very funny.
Now we got spit all over the place in the tunnel, too.
It's not my job to clean it up.
Wow. Yeah.
COVID's still real, Jordan.
I was going to say he would have been possibly they would have been possibly crucified if they did this a couple years ago. So I'm glad we've reached a level where they can throw their mouthpieces without repercussion, other than getting kicked out of the game. Basketball doesn't work like football. If you get ejected at a certain point of the game, you don't have to set out any time in the next game, right?
No. This is not soccer. You were just ejected from that game.
Unless the NBA hands
down a post-game suspension.
Because how much of the game did he actually miss?
Not a ton.
Right.
But let's be honest.
It was an important part of the game.
An important part of the game.
And he hurt his team by taking himself off the court.
By doing something he knows you can't do. Texter chimed in and pointed out that Trey pointed it on live stream. Miles Bridges did that last year and got heat for it. And Miles Bridges didn't get heat because he threw his mouthpiece. Miles Bridges got heat because he threw his mouthpiece and it hit a teenage girl in the face, which is exactly why Steph got thrown from this game. If that didn't happen with Miles Bridges last year, Steph probably doesn't get bounced from this game.
If I recall, Steph threw his mouthpiece into the crowd a couple years ago, and I think he got in a lot of trouble for that.
Sure.
That's why I'm saying he should have learned his lesson. And Steve Kerr acting like this is the first time that it's happened before, it's not.
I would agree with that. I would also agree that the NBA has the Miles Bridges incident right there in his face, right? Like, if you got players winging equipment into the stands and hitting her, if that mouthpiece, which hit that young lady in the face, hits her in the eye and does some permanent damage, the NBA is on the hook for millions of dollars. And they know it. They can't have that. So Steph gets bounced from that game. And honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if Steph eats a X $1,000 fine over the next couple of days. The point of all of this. A
double occurrence of something like this, I think, requires anger management classes. Because you can't control yourself and you're throwing stuff. I mean, that wouldn't hurt. Well, if you're not looking, you turn around and you get belted in the eye. Yeah, it would.
I got in high school in a basketball game. I took a finger to the eye on a rebound. Had to rock the pirate eye patch for about a week and a half. It can mess you up, dude. It can cause problems, right? So the NBA can't have that because of what happened to that young lady last year at the Charlotte game. So I'm not surprised that he got bounced. I wouldn't be surprised that if the NBA hands a fine down to Steph. There is one reason and one reason alone I did this segment. It's because I love you guys on the stream, and I wanted you all to see the very luminous smile of one great one, Lonzo.
You know what also? Yeah, the smile is there, and it will brighten your day. The other thing that bothers me is they allow him to stay on the court and argue for like 5 minutes about the call. All up in the ref's face. I mean, I think he should be suspended for another game for that.
Steph got into it with the refs. Not like, I mean, it was heated, but it wasn't like Steph was like, you know, giving them the old double bird thumbs in or whatever. It was just Steph being like, yo, and I get it. Like, right, you're not just going to willingly go, okay, I'm ejected. In a game of that magnitude, in a moment of that magnitude, if you are the best player on the floor.
But you know what this does? This proves that Steve Kerr is wrong. Because if Steve Kerr is right and Steph knew he shouldn't do that, then why would Steph argue about it?
Because so that was means, a pivotal no, game no, and no, a pivotal no, moment. He's means, the best player on the floor.
What that means, well, there's a sense of entitlement. Stars get that anyway. But it comes down to, if you know what you did is wrong, why are you arguing about it? Because that makes it look like you don't know what you did is wrong.
I think
it makes it look like, why am I getting kicked out for that? I'm Steph Curry. I can do that.
I suspect that Steph was trying to argue. I didn't throw it into the – because, and again, I've only seen it from the baseline camera looking back towards Steph. It does not look like Steph threw it, like, up into the crowd. It looked like he kind of skipped it off the ground, and it may have made its way to the photogs under the basket or not.
Well, according to the media that was in the press conference – the clip we displayed, it ricocheted.
Again, it may have.
Yes.
But he threw it
with the kind of velocity that it made it into the crowd.
But he didn't throw it into the crowd. It unintentionally may have ended up in the crowd. He skipped off the ground. And I think the argument, again, from the best player on the floor in a pivotal game for a Warriors team that is trying to make sure they're locked into a good seed against a Memphis team they're trying to make sure isn't, I think he's making the argument of, look, the rule is I can't throw it into the crowd. I didn't throw it into the crowd, right? I threw it at the floor.
You do something stupid, then you compound that by complaining about getting kicked out for doing something stupid. It comes down to lesson was not learned. The coach is wrong. He will do it again.
I mean, he might, and he'll get suspended again, or he'll get bounced from a game again, right?
Until repercussions become such that it actually hurts him in the wallet or hurts the team itself, he's going to continue to do it. I'm not putting him on the level with some guys who got away with
Grayson Allen. No. Look at you, Grayson Allen.
No, I was
you piece of trash human being.
I was thinking about Dennis Rodman, but still, he's not on the level of Dennis Rodman. But he's on the road to going there. Next thing you know, tattoos, and he's marrying himself. Stop it right now. You know what you could do? You could ban all binkies. If you ban the binky, you can't throw it.
Yes, NBA ban mouth guards, which are proven to help.
No, only mouth guards that are used in a way that they become a binky.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I really just wanted this to be a opportunity for Lonzo to crack some jokes on Steph Curry. And instead, Lonzo has decided, oh, I'm not letting up on this guy. Let's take a break. Got a couple more things I want to get to on the radio broadcast today. Coming up in the next segment, I was reading an article about the recruitment of Nicholas Harbor, 5-star running back from up in the D.C., Virginia area that South Carolina is one of the final five in. If he signs, he would be the first 5-star recruit signed to Shane Beamer. That'd be a huge get. But then I found a take from a South Carolina fan written as a comment on that article, and I would like to address it because I don't have anything better to do. We'll do that when we come back. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. This is the Fan Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
So, next Wednesday is National Signing Day, February 1st. And it's obviously a big day because the next round of recruiting classes are going to be finalized for college football teams around the country. And Nicholas Harbor, 5-star running back, is one of only two inside of 24/7's top 50 recruits nationally that has not yet signed a national letter of intent. And he is a guy that is being sought after big time. USC is one of the teams that is still in for Nicholas Harbor. The 6'5", 225-pound running back is expected to announce his commitment next Wednesday, February 1st, during National Signing Day. And he's got four teams that seem to be left in the recruiting for him. Michigan, Maryland, Oregon, and the University of South Carolina. If Nicholas Harbor signs with South Carolina, he would be Shane Beamer's first 5-star recruit. He would be the highest rated recruit that South Carolina has gotten in a number of years. He's being described as a program altering target, right? A guy that could show up and immediately impact the program. He'd be the first five-star signee since Jordan Birch in 2020, who just transferred out, and the first out-of-state. Check this out, Zoe. If Nicholas Harbor signs, the first out-of-state five-star recruit for South Carolina this millennium. They have not had an out-of-state five-star player since the year 2000. That would be big.
That's 23 years. That's
a lot. It's a lot of years.
Yes.
Last month, South Carolina signed a 22-player class of 2023 that ranked number 16 nationally, number 7 in the SEC per the 24/7 Sports Composite. Isn't it ridiculous, though, that you can be ranked number 16 nationally and still be 7th in the SEC? That's insane.
Well, some would say that that's how it's supposed to be because it just means more. Exactly.
I think it means two things. Number one, talent is absolutely centering around the Southeastern Conference. Can't argue that. But I think the other thing is, and this has been an argument for recruiting conspiracy theorists for many years, that guys get bumps in recruiting based on being recruited by the SEC. A lot of three-star guys suddenly become four-star guys when Nick Saban throws his hat in the ring, right? Well, if Saban sees something in him, he must be better than we thought it was. So, anyway, that's another discussion for another time. Nicholas Harbor is going to Oregon for one last recruiting trip. He did post, and this was very interesting. Nicholas Harbor on Monday put up an Instagram story that geotagged his location as Boulder, Colorado. What's in Boulder, Colorado?
Skiing.
And Coach Prime. The University of Colorado is located in Boulder, Colorado. Nicholas Harbor put up an Instagram post that had him geotagged in Boulder, Colorado. But his father, Azuka Harbor, told 24/7 Sports that his son was, quote, nowhere near Colorado, and that at the time that picture went up, he was actually in Washington, D.C., because the head coach or the coaching staff of Oregon was in D.C. to visit him before he traveled to Oregon in order to take his last visit before National Signing Day on Wednesday. So, North Carolina has sent numerous staff members to Lubbock, Texas last week to watch Harbor compete in the Under Armour High School Classic track meet, where he ran the 60-meter dash in 6.66 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not a high school record. That is not a college record. A 6.6640 is a national record in that event. That's insane, dude. That's fast. The 60-meter dash in 6.66 seconds. You could say it's devilishly fast if you wanted to.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't, though.
Nicholas Harbor is very, very sought after. The number one athlete recruit in the 24/7 sports composite ratings. But it wasn't all of this information from this article that got me. I am very, very interested in Nicholas Harbor and his recruiting profile. What I am more interested in out of Nicholas Harbor is the comment off of this edge rusher tight end, and I know I'm getting told my man Cocky for a reason just checked in and said, yo, check it out. He's a edge rusher tight end, not a running back. I'm promising you he's going to get some RB snaps. You don't have a 6.66 meter 60 and not get some snaps out of the backfield, but you're right. But this was the comment that got me. There's a South Carolina fan that checked in with this comment, Lonzo. And I want to get all of your thoughts on this comment. I don't typically react or respond to the comments of random internet people. because most of them are dumb. The comments, not the people. Maybe the people. Who knows? He said, quote, played his prep ball in Washington, D.C. Not exactly a hot spot as far as competition. No real problem with that, right? He's not wrong. Virginia, D.C. isn't known for cranking out recruits like Texas or Florida or California. South Carolina and Clemson ignore their own backyard chasing quote-unquote stars. Look at the rosters of players in the NFL. There are enough players in South Carolina, Georgia, and North Carolina to fill two NFL teams with starters. Stop going all over the country looking for talent that is improving and stay out of the transfer portal. It's filled with players who have failed at making an impact at one school or they don't want to compete. Imagine an athlete that doesn't like competition. Yeah, that's a recipe for a winning program. Not! Recruit and develop high school players and focus on long-term gains. End quote. So I got a couple of responses with that.
First of all, well written. I just want to point that out.
You agree with it? Or do you think it's just well composed?
First of all, it's well written. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying. We're probably going to fight because we always fight about this. So you go ahead.
Okay, I'll go ahead. Your responses are also welcome, by the way, at 844-326-3663 or text them to 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-M, we'll read them on the air. Start with this. The five top players in South Carolina right now for the 2024 class are signed with South Carolina. The other one was offered by South Carolina and Clemson, but decided to go to Georgia, which can't fault them. Turns out Georgia's running a pretty good program right
also
now.
Also falls into what the guy was talking about. He at least is staying
sure.
in the area.
Oh, I'm not arguing that there's plenty of talent across the Carolinas, across eastern Georgia, down into Florida. I'm not arguing that there's plenty of talent to focus on. Like I said, when I put out my five-step program to determine if a coach is working out or not, step number one, win the games you're supposed to win, all of them. Step number two, win the recruiting battles in your own backyard. South Carolina's very clearly doing that.
So I don't know if you do this, but I think a lot of people do. I know I do. If I'm watching a college game and a player pops up and I'm like, wait a minute, didn't he play high school in South Carolina? Why isn't he playing for South Carolina or Clemson? It happens a lot. It really does. There have been some, I think, Whiteside comes to mind. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside comes to mind when the first one that I think of. And there have been other players. You see them go somewhere else, and you think, did they not at least get recruited here? It just seems to happen a bunch. And if some of those guys who play so well on other teams were to stay in state, that would be kind of awesome. And sometimes it has to do with the player. The player wants to leave home.
Look, as we mentioned, as I have mentioned a lot of times, recruiting is not regional anymore, right? Like, I know a lot of you guys, and I don't say this with any disrespect, although I've been told it is disrespectful. It's not meant to be. A lot of you guys kind of look at what college football used to be, right? Where it used to be, if you played football in Florida, you went to Florida State, Miami, USF, UCF.
The back in my day mentality is a real thing, and it's
sure.
Even though we joke about it, you can't help it. You remember how things were, and maybe it was a time that you thought was special, and you want it to still be that way, and it's not going to be anymore.
All of us, this has been, by the way, scientifically proven. All of us will recall whatever the day was that we were in our prime as the best it was, right? We all remember.
I don't know about you, Rob, but I think we're in prime right now.
I mean, I'm.
I mean, you know, I know I'm older, but I was thinking this today. You know, I don't know if this is the best I'll ever be, but this is pretty good. I know it sounds arrogant, but still, there's nothing wrong with looking at where you are in your career and going, it's not bad.
Oh, listen, professionally, I'm doing the best I've ever done in my life. The best I've ever done, and I've done pretty good.
You got 29 jobs now.
Yeah,
so
I'm doing the best I've ever done. However, I will also say that personally and athletically, I'm a piece of human trash right now, and I'm five accepted, and I'm fine with it. I will never be what I was at 24. Very few of us are.
You have not achieved blob status yet. I've been there. It's not a good place to be.
So, all of us remember whatever we consider back in our day when we were in our prime as the best. The music was the best. The TV was the best. Right? Entertainment was at its best. Sports was at its best. That is why, almost with consensus, I can tell you who a guy is going to call the GOAT on the basketball floor. Almost without fail, I can tell you who they think the GOAT is just based on their age. Right?
Yeah, but with that, there's a limited amount. I mean, the group that people will consider the greatest of all time is...
I don't disagree.
I think football, it's different.
But the point is, whoever was the GOAT while we were in our prime, that's the GOAT, right? Like, if you're in my age, there's a 90% chance you're saying it's Mike. If you're 10 years younger than me.
If you're my age, you're still saying that, too.
Sure. If you are younger than me, there's a better chance you're saying it's Kobe. If you're younger than that, you're likely saying it's Braun. If you're slightly older than me, you're probably going to tell me Magic or Larry, right? If you're slightly older than that, you're going to say it's Kareem.
Or Wilt.
Right. That's exactly right. The same is true here. Whatever sports was at your prime, that's the best it ever was. And for a lot of y'all, especially the older fans, you look at college football back when recruiting was regional. If you were from Alabama, you played at Alabama or at Auburn. If you were from South Carolina, you played at South Carolina or Clemson. If you're from North Carolina, you played for Duke or UNC. If you're from Florida, you played for FSU, Florida, or Miami, right? But recruiting is now national. You must recruit all 50 states. You can go to almost any SEC roster, and you're going to see a kid from Hawaii listed on that roster. Hell, you can go to most SEC rosters, and you'll find an international player. A kid that's come from Germany or Australia. Because it is now not only national, it's an international game is recruiting at this point. So this mindset of stop worrying about kids out of D.C. and start recruiting kids out of South Carolina, the correct response is no. You got to do both. You have got to get guys like Cam Pringle out of your own backyard. A guy that, by the way, grew up a Florida Gator football fan. You got to win him over to your program in your own backyard and go get the Nicholas Harbors out of D.C., Virginia, and bring down those five-star athletes as well. You have to do both. And that is why I have said that a guy like Nick Saban remains on top of the game. And it's not because Nick Saban's an excellent coach. It is because Nick Saban has put together a stellar recruiting panel and beat you on National Signing Day and the spring practices, where he gets his team in shape and knowing you better than you know yourself before the season starts. It is why Dabo Swinney has been where Dabo's been, because Dabo has sharpened his recruiting pitch, right? Dabo has sharpened his recruiting pitch to where Dabo isn't just pulling guys out of South Carolina and Eastern Georgia and Northern Florida. But Dabo's got a pitch that he can go into communities like Hawaii, where, for instance, and I know I harp on this, but so does Dabo, and it works. But Dabo can go into communities where he can go pitch his faith-based football program. And if he goes into a community where faith is at their forefront, Dabo's recruiting pitch works incredible. It works incredible. Notre Dame's that way too, right? Notre Dame can pitch that. That's why Notre Dame gets, I don't know how many of y'all watched the Manti Te'o documentary. But Manti Te'o comes from a community where faith is at their forefront. It is their most important thing. And the reason that Manti Te'o picked Notre Dame before he picked USC, where he was projected to go, is because of that faith-based community that is built around Notre Dame football. That is a recruiting, that is a pitch, right? It may be very important to you personally, but it's still a pitch at the end of the day. You've got to be able to pitch your school, not just the guys in your backyard that grew up fans of your school, but to the kids not in your backyard that didn't. And Shane's very clearly done that with Nicholas Harbor. He's gone there and said, look, here's what I can pitch you. This is our program. I'll let you run track, which has been very important to him. He's said it a number of times. The three things important to me: education, football, and track. There are, I have no doubt, probably some coaches that aren't big on fans, on teams, on players playing two ways on different teams. Jameis Winston was going to be an Alabama Crimson Tider. You know why Jameis ended up at Florida State? Because Nick Saban didn't want him playing baseball, and Jimbo Fisher said, hell yeah, you can play baseball down here. And Jameis went to Florida State so he could play baseball and football. And it won them a natty. Won them a natty because of it, right? So I think South Carolina's doing just fine. And the fact that Nicholas Harbor has got four teams remaining in South Carolina, according to 24/7, who has got a crystal ball out for him becoming a Gamecock next Wednesday, I think they're doing a good job. Let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute, wrap up hour number two. Coming up in about 40 minutes, Fight Club with Lonzo. It is Royal Rumble Saturday. You know we're going to get into that. A couple of MMA stories we might get into. Lonzo, big slap fat guy, professional slapping. We might get into that. The Rob Brown Show rolls on after this. This is the Fan Upstate. Join us on the stream, Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, Twitter.com/TheFanUpstate, or by searching and subscribing to The Rob Brown Show on YouTube and Twitch. Make sure you do that, because coming up on Saturday is the WWE Royal Rumble, and I am going to do a little experiment. I haven't done this before. We have considered it. We have thought about it. Just never put the plan in motion, and I'm going to for Saturday. Saturday evening is the WWE Royal Rumble, and Rob Brown is going to host a live virtual watch along. We've talked about doing that before. I haven't gotten a chance. If this works, if enough of you guys join in, and if this works and you guys enjoy it, interact with it, etc., then it will be something that I will start doing for more sporting events, more football games, basketball games, etc. I will start hosting virtual watch-alongs for NFL games, college football games, college basketball games, NBA games, etc. Now, obviously, I can't put the event on the screen. You will have to be able to watch it on your own, and I will do the best that I can to tell you where I am in the broadcast so you can sync up your broadcast with mine, and we can watch this thing together. I will invite you guys to chat with me. I will invite some of you guys on the stream to interact with me live if you wish to do that. It is going to be, I think it's got the potential to be a lot of fun. And again, if this is something you guys participate in, we'll do more of it.
All right. You know, I don't want to interrupt too much.
No, break the glass,
man. I think
it's
going to be awesome. But
that's what the glass is there for.
According to Adam Schefter, the Jets are hiring former Broncos head coach Nathaniel Hackett as their offensive coordinator.
I got no problem with that, right?
But a chip is off the board. A lot of people were wanting him, like, as the Panther OC.
I don't have a problem with the hiring, but I also would not want that, right? I think there is, listen.
Wasn't he tied to Sean Payton? The two were kind of tied together in a lot of things that I've
kind
read.
Of, but I also, I think if you're Nathaniel Hackett, who I think we can say not only failed in Denver, but failed spectacularly in Denver.
It was pretty bad.
An absolute flame out, yeah? There's damage that gets done with that. Now, if you go and you have a couple of years where things don't go your way and you struggle a little bit, that's one thing. It's another thing to have your team just implode around you like Nathaniel Hackett did. It does some damage to you. It does some damage to your rep. The other aspect of that is, I do think Nathaniel Hackett was tied to Sean Payton. So was Vic Fangio, the other former Denver Broncos head coach. But I also think if you are those guys at this point with what is happening around Sean Payton, I don't think you can hang around and wait anymore, right? Like these positions, we are now on the point where teams are on the clock. We talked about that with Rashad in the last hour. We are at a point where teams are on the clock because chips are going to start coming off the board. And if you want a guy, you better grab him now before somebody else does. Sean Payton does not look like there is interest being generated in him like we thought there would be a couple of months ago. So if you were waiting on Sean, and now you got NFL teams going, hey, we want you as the OC, especially a guy like Hackett, whose job opportunities probably crumbled after his firing in Denver, and a team calls you and go, hey, we know you were waiting around on Sean, but we want you as OC, you got to take that job. You just got to take that job.
You talk about chips falling. This might be like the beginning of a barrage.
Yeah. I absolutely suspect that we will see another coach get hired sometime in the next 24 hours. By the end of the show tomorrow, we will have another chip off the board. Let's take a break. When we come back, we talked AFC Championship game. Let's talk NFC Championship game. When we come back, that is Fight Club with Lonzo. That is Twitter Trending Topics. And then we go home. It's Thursday, y'all. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is the Fan Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.